Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Greg, thank you very much for joining us. What immediately pops here vis-a-vis what the media may be getting wrong on this, and you can clarify for our listeners?
Well, it was an impressively well-reasoned decision, and it was supported by the constitutional principle that all presidents, not just Donald Trump, but all presidents have unique responsibilities that demand independence to function effectively. And, you know, Dom, regardless of their party, they must be protected from bad faith prosecutions driven by political animus, which, you know, I believe is exactly what Special Counsel Jack Smith has done. Now, understand, this is not blanket immunity. It's a conditional, albeit presumptive, protection for the official acts of a president, but not private acts. And as I predicted long ago, the court adopted the exact same standard that was enunciated four decades ago in the Nixon-Fitzgerald case that shielded presidents from civil liability as long as their acts are within the outer perimeter of official duties. If it were otherwise, the chilling effect on presidents would be severe. And as the High Court said today, we want our chief executives to exercise decisions fearlessly and fairly without the threat of partisans later criminalizing legitimate actions. But at the same time, private or unofficial actions do not enjoy immunity. So, you know, I think it was an imminently fair decision.
Now, I don't know if you saw this, Greg, because I just saw it because Mediaite put it up. I know you're combing through this. Amy Coney Barrett, who really dropped the ball on that internet case, Facebook, et cetera, with the Biden administration, in my view, she put a footnote in starting the process to tell us what is official and what is private. And she said a president has no legal authority, thus no official capacity, to influence how states appoint their electors, kind of taking a shot at allegedly what Trump did with so-called fake electors.
Yeah, that's not a sentiment shared by the majority. It's her own. And the fact is that in three previous elections, Democrats use the Electoral Count Act, which is a federal statute,
right,
to challenge electors on January 6th. You know, they did it January 6, 2017, to try to remove the newly elected Trump in favor of Hillary Clinton. They did it in 2001, 2005. You know, when they do it, it's perfectly okay. But when allies of Donald Trump do it, it's somehow criminal. So I think she's fundamentally wrong about that, and it's one of the deep flaws in Jack Smith's J6 case against Trump.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the practical implications, because I agree with you. We started off, this is not about Trump mainly, even though there's huge significance to it. It's about future presidents, presidents in general,
right,
like President Obama and the drone killing. That we want to give, you know, this is the benefit of the doubt. The referees are a significant presumption. A president has to have that. Otherwise, he's never going to be bold enough to be president. But how does this cut in your view? What is the, I've seen zero. I don't quite share that, Greg, the potential of Jack Smith starting up the case if he cuts some stuff out, particularly with the judge in Washington. Is there any shot in Greg Jarrett's mind that we're going to see that trial start, say, in October of this year?
Well, it would have to move at lightning speed, but Judge Tanya Chutkan seems willing to abide by the demands of Jack Smith to do that. I see difficulties in that because today's ruling remands the case back to the trial court to determine whether Trump's mm-hmm. actions were official or unofficial. Does he get some protection, complete protection, no protection? That will require evidentiary hearings. It may require witnesses. And so that is a long and involved process. And, you know, if Trump doesn't fare as well as he hopes in that, you know, he will assert a right of appeal. And if granted, that litigation would take months. And so, you know, I just don't see this getting to trial. Now, Chutkan might try to, you know, move it along faster than it deserves. Is she really going to tie up Donald Trump in a courtroom in Washington, D.C. in the weeks leading up to the presidential election or even after the election? I think the outrage would be deafening.
I agree with you, but I don't put it past a guy like Jack Smith and maybe this judge. Greg, is there any impact at all in the Bragg case with the sentencing? One of your colleagues, Andy McCarthy, I was on the air when this was going on today, was asked about that, and he thought the Trump defense might bring this up as an example of lawfare, and that's what happened in New York. You see them being able to play with this decision at all?
In the New York case, Alan Dershowitz, the Harvard Law professor, was on with me on Hannity last Friday night. He believes it does because the decision that we were talking about then was the Fisher case in which the Supreme Court said, wait a minute, you're misusing and misapplying an obstruction statute against 330 J6 rioters and Donald Trump. And, you know, that essentially guts half of Jack Smith's J6 case against Donald Trump. And, you know, at the same time, you know, I think Dershowitz made the argument that the misuse of that statute, what the Supreme Court was really saying was, you know, Alvin Bragg did the same thing. He misused statutory law for partisan purposes. Now, I don't think that's going to be a direct issue before the Supreme Court right now or any time in the near future. But I, you know, have communicated with Trump's defense team, and that, you know, they're going to take this case to the federal courts because due process violations mean that their only relief is in the federal system.
Now, Greg, I haven't heard you on this too, but some colleagues, various, think that even though it's only on paper, 34 felonies, I mean, it's on paper technically in the Bragg case, how could the judge just say some probation or something? In other words, maybe home confinement. Is that possible? Anything's possible.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Possible, but is that likely with this judge?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, he's got to recognize, unless he's you know, totally out of it like Joe Biden, that, you know, this was really just a single act. And what Bragg did was called count stacking, which is unconscionable. No good prosecutor does it. So if you read the first charge in the indictment, it's identical to the following 33, except they just changed the date of the invoice reimbursements. It's sort of like a bank robber walking out with $100 and he gets charged with 100 bank robbery crimes. Prosecutors don't do that. Judges don't allow it. So I think he has to recognize this was really just one crime. And second of all, that the defendant has no criminal record. And that, you know, it was a nonviolent crime, unquestionable legal theory. So I think there is a chance that, you know, he'll get probation.
All right. Where do you lean? I hate to pin you down, Greg, but, you know, will he be taken and have to be at home? How remote
no.
of a possibility? You don't think so? Okay.
No, because, first of all, the whatever sentence is rendered will be stayed pending an appeal.
Okay.
So, you know, and that's standard, particularly in a case like this, a nonviolent crime. So, now he'll be free to campaign regardless of Mershon's sentencing.
Overall, with the Supreme Court, and this is really your bailiwick, the Constitution of the United States and other patriotic documents, current book, the only gripe I have, and it is a major one, is the social media case, trying to read the tea leaves. And as you can tell with Amy Coney Barrett, not that we want people to walk in lockstep, but I just see her influence there as both Roberts, and I don't see this as a Supreme Court decision that I'm on board with as far as a choice by President Trump. How about you?
Well, they dodged it. You know, they didn't want to confront it. And I think it was Alito who said, this is really shameful because this is probably the most important free speech case in decades.
Yes.
And it really was. I mean, you're talking about wholesale government censorship of free speech rights leading up to an election, as well as an important issue, the treatment of COVID. And yet, people were being silenced. And I can't think of a more egregious violation of the First Amendment than that. And what they did say was, well, we're not going to make a decision because we don't think the plaintiffs have standing, which is a joke. Of course they had standing. But the court often uses that ploy to avoid making a controversial decisions. And I think Roberts, along with Amy Coney Barrett, decided, you know, we're making a plenty of controversial decisions right now, and we're just going to not make one more, so we're going to boot this case. And that, I think, is disgraceful.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, Greg. So what's on your radar screen? What are you looking coming up out of any of this and how it impacts the presidential race, either Biden, Trump? What are you seeing?
Well, Biden's got his own problems right now. And, you know, I wrote a column the day after the debate that said, look, this was entirely foreseeable, but the leftist media, as well as, you know, Biden's family, his wife, those aides at the White House, his handlers, they've been covering it up. And I just find that so regrettable. Biden's notoriously stubborn. He has no ability to self-reflect. But it's too much to expect a senile man to recognize his own senility. So, you know, I think he can be forgiven for that. But I don't forgive Biden's wife and family. I don't forgive the White House aides. I certainly don't forgive the media handmaidens who bear considerable blame. Too many journalists and pundits were complicit in covering up his infirmities. They knew it all along, and then they pretended they were shocked, you know, on Thursday night, and they immediately turned against him and called for him to step aside. There's plenty of blame to go around, but one thing's for sure. A continued presidency of Joe Biden is a national security threat because perceived weakness invites foreign aggression, and, you know, Americans can't afford that.
Absolutely. Greg, have a great Independence Day, the Constitution of the United States, and other patriotic documents. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.